Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the Gospel of John. Today is episode 132, and we're looking at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Let's read the passage together. Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Well, we've made it to chapter 10. Of John's Gospel. And this begins, Jesus is giving a discourse, and it's probably just the continuous narrative from the end of chapter 9. There's no breaks in the narrative at all to indicate it's another time or place. And with some of the language that we see in chapter 10, specifically addressing the blind, it probably is the same interaction that Jesus is having with the people in chapter 9. But we have to understand chapter 10 in light of shepherd language, specifically as leaders of the people. Often in the ancient world, religious leaders, even political leaders, even kings are referred to as shepherds of the people. And the Old Testament is full of imagery about the leaders of Israel as the shepherds of God's people. And that they're being held accountable by God as to how they shepherd. Just look at a few of these and keep these in mind as we look through chapter 10, as Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd. Jeremiah 23, the prophet says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. This is the Lord's declaration. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the shepherds who tend my people. You've scattered my flock, banished them, and not attended to them. I'm about to attend to you because of your evil acts. This is the Lord's declaration. I will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands where I have banished them and will return them to their grazing land. They will become fruitful and numerous. I will raise up shepherds over them who will tend to them. They will no longer be afraid or discouraged, nor will any be missing. This is the Lord's declaration." So here we have judgment on the leaders of the people, that they're not doing a good job of taking care of God's people. Then in Jeremiah 25, very similar, where he says, "Pay attention, disaster spreads from nation to nation. Wail, you shepherds, and cry out. Roll in the dust, you leaders of the flock, because the days of your slaughter has come. If you will fail and become scattered like a precious vase." So he's talking about judgment, which is coming. In Zechariah 11, he says, "I'm about to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are perishing, and he will not seek the lost or heal the broken. He will not sustain the healthy, but he will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hooves. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May a sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm wither away and his right eye go completely blind." Oh, here, there's going to be a shepherd who's going to be a bad shepherd. In Isaiah 56, he talks about the watchman and a similar kind of thing, the watchman and the shepherds who watch over. He says, "Israel's watchmen are blind, all of them. They know nothing." Let's see, Ezekiel 34, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who've been feeding themselves. Should the shepherds feed the flock?" Ezekiel 34:23, he says, "I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will shepherd them. He will tend to them himself and will be their shepherd." So throughout the prophecies of the Old Testament, you see the judgment given on the shepherds of Israel who have failed, who are bad shepherds, who are false shepherds, who are not leading the people of God, to follow God. And promises throughout that God will raise up a shepherd who will lead the people. So we got to understand that backdrop. So when Jesus steps in now and starts talking about the shepherd, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the real shepherd, that's him, the backdrop to it. So John chapter 10 begins with, "Truly I tell you, amen, amen, I say to you." Pay attention, this is important. "Anyone who doesn't enter in the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber." Now the scenario he's painting here is a large community kind of pen. One he's talking about would be one with a wall. A wall around this courtyard area with a single door or gate with a gatekeeper there. And you bring your sheep there for the evening. The sheep go in, spend the night in this walled courtyard, which is guarded by the watchman at the door. And then get your sheep the next morning to go take them to graze. So you have to enter by the gate. If you don't, obviously you're not belonging there. So you are a robber, a thief, trying to steal sheep if you don't come in through the gate. Verse 2, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." Verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens it for him, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, Jesus is, you know, painting an allegory here, a fictional thing. Though the watchman doesn't seem to have really a role in this narrative. He's just there. He's the guy who guards the gate. And only the true shepherd, only the real shepherd, has access to the pen. But he calls the sheep, the shepherd does, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls them by name and leads them out. So it's these sheep, you know, they know who their shepherd is. They know who takes care of them. And all he has to do is come to the gate and call them. The idea calls each of them. If he has 10 sheep, he calls their 10 names. And they say, "Oh, Shepherd Bob's here for us." And they follow Shepherd Bob because they know he's their shepherd. This is the way sheep actually do. They will go, even somebody dresses like the shepherd and calls, tries to imitate his call, they won't come to him because they recognize his voice because he's the true shepherd. And verse 4, "When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice." There's two ways to move sheep. One is to drive the sheep. And those who use sheep dogs, that's how the sheep are moved. They're driven. The other is to lead the sheep. And it takes more of a relationship with them. You can't just do this with a multitude, a herd. You have to do this with sheep that you deal with individually. And you call them by name and they follow you because they know you're going to take them to a place to eat, a place to drink. Verse 5, "They'll never follow a stranger. Instead, they'll run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Then in verse 6, "Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them." Now, there's a word here. It gets translated as figurative speech. It doesn't occur very often in the New Testament. Peter uses it, and it's used as a parable at that point. In John 16, Jesus says, "There come a time I speak to you plainly, and I don't use these figures of speech." And the people respond using the same word. So it could mean a figure of speech, a proverb, a saying, an allegory. Allegory, I think, works well here. He's giving a fictional account of something in order to make a point. The issue he's talking about here, you know, is the true shepherd, the real shepherd versus the false shepherd. Only the real shepherd is the one who can get access to the sheep, and only the real shepherd is the one who can lead the sheep, because the sheep will not follow the false shepherd. He is the real shepherd, the true shepherd, in contrast to the Pharisees, who have proved themselves to be false shepherds, proved themselves to be failed shepherds. You just saw the Jesus heal the blind man as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who could really take care of people, and he's just being criticized by the actual leaders of the people. And this is the picture he's painting, that he is the one who's really there to care for the people, really there to lead the people, and the one really who can do what the people need. contrast from the previous chapter. In chapter 9 is the blind man versus the Pharisees in how they respond to Jesus. The blind man accepts Jesus. The Pharisees reject Jesus. And the contrast between the Pharisees and Jesus, as Pharisees are the failed shepherds. They can't do anything for the blind man. Jesus is the true shepherd who actually gives sight to the blind man. And this is all still the setup. Jesus gives them this figure speech, but they don't get it. He's going to light into them here next time as we look, and he starts talking about that he is the good shepherd. Remember this in light of the Old Testament passages we looked at where God condemns, God passes judgment on those who have failed as shepherds of the people. They failed to lead the people to follow God and instead have led them astray, led them to wrong places, or neglected the people. And God holds the shepherds accountable. Now Jesus steps in and says, I am the good shepherd. And remember this in light of passage in Ezekiel. I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will shepherd them. He will tend them himself and will be their shepherd. And that's Jesus, the one that God has sent to be the good shepherd. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the Gospel of John.